Proverbs chapter 12.
Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like a decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A person is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. The righteous care for the needs of their animals, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. The wicked desire the stronghold of evildoers, but the root of the righteous endures. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. The ways of the foolish seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labour. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. In the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality.
I'm stuck in Romans for some reason. I don't know why Romans 12 is on my mind so much this morning. Proverbs 12. I just want to pick out the main theme for this, really. There's a number of themes running through it, but they will be picked up in other chapters as we go through Proverbs. But it says a lot in Proverbs 12 about the righteous. It says in verse 3 that the righteous cannot be uprooted. It tells us that Jesus, that the plans of the righteous are just. The house stands firm and the root endures. And I just want to remind you what Romans 3, not Romans 12, but what Romans 3 says about righteousness and our righteousness. It says this. So where does that put us? Do we Jews get a better break than others? Not really. Basically, all of us, whether insiders or outsiders, start out in an identical condition, which is to say that we all start out as sinners. Scripture leaves no doubt about it. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody who knows the score, nobody alert for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one is living right. And it goes on to say, this makes it clear, doesn't it? Whatever is written in these scriptures is not what God says about others, but to us, to whom these scriptures were addressed in the first place. And it's clear enough, isn't it? That we're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everybody else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complicity in everyone else's sin. And so we see in both Old and New Testament that there is no one that is righteous. In the Old Testament, there were so many, hundreds and hundreds of laws and regulations that people tried to live by and achieve this righteousness. But the righteousness that we have is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is He who alone is our righteous one. No one in the world is righteous. We are brought to that righteousness based on the love and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the result of our righteousness, just coming back to these verses, the fact that we are made right by Jesus means that we cannot be uprooted. And when I go for a walk in the morning, there's quite a lot of trees. But I'm noticing, particularly with the high wind and some of the stormy weather that we've had over recent weeks, that there's quite a number of the trees that have been uprooted. They've fallen. The wind has been so strong that they've not been able to withhold the blast of the weather, and they've been uprooted. Our righteousness is based in Jesus, and whatever storm, however high, however strong the gales are that come against us, and we're in one almighty storm at the moment, we cannot be uprooted, because our righteousness is based in the Lord Jesus. Verse 7 says, our house stands firm. I mentioned the other day about the parable of the wise builder who built on the rock and the foolish builder who built on the sand. Our house stands firm because we are built on the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 12 says, the righteous, the root of the righteous endures forever. And through this storm, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can endure this because we serve one, as we are told in verse 5, the plans of the righteous are just. And there is a path for us to walk through this particular storm that we are in. Corinthians reminds us that there's nothing greater that will come along our path that we cannot overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will plan a path for you, for me, for His church throughout the world in this difficult time, because we are seeking His face. We are seeking His righteousness so we can stand firm and endure the greatest storms. Let me just remind you of very, very familiar verses from Romans chapter 8. I'm reading again from the Message. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and expose Himself to the worst by sending His own Son, is there anything else He wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way, not trouble, not times of difficulty, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate us. We sit in decks. They pick us off one by one. And then the Message says this: none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God has made us righteous. And Solomon picks up this theme here in Proverbs 12. Paul picks it up in Romans 8 in this sense that nothing can separate us from God's love. We cannot be uprooted. Our house stands firm. The root endures forever. And just to mention something here, to put this in, and we will pick it up in later chapters. In verse 25 in the Message, it says, anxiety weighs down the heart. Anxiety weighs down the heart. And I'm sure we've all experienced that ourselves. But certainly as a nation and throughout the nations of the world, while we face this terrible virus, the anxiety weighs down the heart. But Solomon then tells us, but a kind word cheers it up, cheers the heart up. Kind word, God's word into our lives in a moment of anxiousness breaks that fear. It breaks the anxiety. And God's word to us and to you and to me this morning is, you will not be uprooted. You will stand firm because you are part of God's building. And your roots that go deep into Christ will be able to endure. Sometimes our feelings get the better of us, but our righteousness and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is greater, much, much, much greater than our anxiety, than our feelings. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Just jumping way back to verse 5, just for a brief moment. Plans of the righteous are just. And God has a plan for you, and a plan for me, and a plan for the church in this present situation. And part of that, part of that plan is to have a word in season. For God to lead us through social media, email, telephone, whatever means, to speak a word to the anxious hearts of family, friends, neighbors, whoever it might be, that we seek God's face. God, give me a word that will speak into the anxiety that is in our nation at this time. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anybody need cheering? Yeah? We all need cheering from time to time. And it is that kind word, it's that word from God, timely word that lifts our heart, lifts our spirit. And so we thank God that through Jesus, we have been made righteous. And we pray that God will use our lips to bring people through and out of this time of anxiety.